Clement Freud, Graham Garden, Peter Jones and Kenneth Williams in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed, and hello and welcome to the second in this new series of Just a Minute. And we're pleased to welcome back someone who made such a success when he was our guest in the series last year, Graham Garden. They're all four at different times going to try and speak for just 1 minute on some subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject which is on the card in front of me. And we'll start the show this week with Peter Jones. And Peter, the subject is making my peace. Will you try and talk on that for just a minute, starting now?
Well, sometime in what I hope is the distant future, I shall at last make my peace with the BBC, with whom I've had this love-hate relationship for so long. Because they have, after all, given pleasure and enjoyment to so many people, aside from the viewers and listeners.
And Kenneth Williams has bust.
Hesitation.
Yes, I agree with your challenge of hesitation, Kenneth, so you get a point for that. And you take over the subject. It's making my peace, and there are 42 seconds left, starting now.
I make my peace with flour and water and a little cheese, and once inadvertently, I'm afraid, my father's stomach powder. The result that came up in the oven was a piece of such deliciousness that everyone remarked upon it, but alas, the smell was atrocious.
Peter Jones has challenged.
He's not. There's something wrong. It's pee. Is it a pee that he's making? What is he making?
He's making his peace.
Oh, a piece. Of what?
He didn't say, but it doesn't matter.
Doesn't it?
He didn't deviate from the subject on the card. And he has a point and keeps the subject, and there are 25 seconds left, starting now.
The other way is to keep your piece in the back row of the stalls with a piece who is delicious, if you can get out of her in time. The way to do this is to offer her a blouse and say it's shot silk. That always gets them going. In fact, it's been well known in the region in which I have frequented most of the formative years.
Clement Freud is challenged.
There was deviation of grammar.
I think
the
that's
piece
a good
in which I have frequented of the formative
years. Yes, don't embarrass him by going into it. I think I would agree with that challenge. And you have 5 seconds, Clement, having gained a point for making my peace, starting now.
Before you can make your peace, it is absolutely essential to wage war.
Well, Ian Messiter blows his whistle after 60 seconds, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. And as you notice, it was Clement Freud, so he got a point then. He also got a point for his correct challenge. He has 2. Kenneth Williams has 2 at the end of the first round. And Kenneth, will you begin the second round? The Gladstone bag. Will you tell us something about that in 60 seconds, starting now?
Contrary to popular belief, it has nothing to do with the politician and was developed as a prototype by none other than Gladys Higginbottom, whose first version was in cardboard and pieces of rope with which it was suspended from the hand. She knew little of this world, having been taken by her aunt from Dawlish in a bullock cart in the early period of her life. She wrote poems and was one of the greatest exponents of Ling Tang Po, who you'll all know did some incredible work metrically with the system known as Euclidean, as opposed to Divide.
Peter Jones has challenged.
I don't know what bag he's talking about. But it sounds like this one from Dawlish to me. Yeah. It's not the Gladstone bag that you told him to talk about.
I just said the Gladstone bag. So what is your challenge?
Deviation? It's deviation.
I think you'd be right.
Ah, you do, yes.
And I will give you a point for a correct challenge, and there are 15 seconds left for the subject, Peter, starting now.
Really splendid invention, and I can't understand why they don't go on making them. They make these plastic ones with imitation.
Kenneth Williams.
Oh, we don't want to hear that. It's rubbish. I want to go on with this. I want to go on and tell you about this Gladys Higginbottom, because she is quite an intriguing person.
Yes, I'm sure we'd all love to hear it, but we also have to stick to the rules in the game, Kenny.
You are rotten, Nick. You really are.
I know.
Just get on your high horse and won't allow imaginative reign.
And if I was to give an incorrect decision on something, the things that you would say. There are 9 seconds left for Peter Jones with a Gladstone bag starting now.
Very roomy, and you can accommodate an enormous number of articles in it. And, of course, it was immortalized by none other than Oscar Wilde in that great play.
Well, Peter Jones was then speaking when the whistle went. He gained an extra point for that and others in the round, so he's taken the lead at the end of the round. Clement Freud, will you begin the next round? The subject... pigeons. Will you tell us something about them in just a minute, starting now?
There are many different kinds of pigeons, such as the homing ones, which you can put on a train to Dawlish, where Gladys Higginbottom unleashes them.
Kenneth Williams,
yes, I certainly challenge you, Gladys Higginbottom. What had nothing to do with pigeons. She hated them. She was the one that complained bitterly about their droppings, because they were always saying that. She never stopped. She had to go to the cleaners all the time for squash and press.
Kenneth, he never said she had anything to do with them. He said you could put them on a train to Dawlish. And anybody could do that.
He mentioned Gladys Higginbottom.
Yes, but Gladys Higginbottom, because you mentioned her. You established that she came from
Dawlish. Let us all mention Gladys Higginbottom.
It's going to be the Gladys Higginbottom show.
It'll be Gladys
week.
Higginbottom week.
There are 49 seconds left for you, Clement, having got an incorrect challenge to continue on pigeons starting now.
And then as they...
Graham Garden, how nice to hear from you.
Yes, I'd just like to mention Gladys Higginbottom if I...
Will you give Graham Garden a bonus point for having mentioned Gladys Higginbottom? I thought that was absolutely a stroke of genius.
This is easy.
And Clement Freud keeps the subject. Oh, he also gets one for a wrong challenge, too. And there are 47 seconds on pigeons, Clement, starting now.
It is no great challenge for them flying over Trafalgar Square, because aim where they will, a hit is bound to occur. But on the way to the place from which they came... whither they started off, as you might say.
Kenneth Williams has
Did challenged. He check me on grammar? I'm checking in. That's deviation for grammar. That's dreadful grammar.
No?
From whence they came, whither they started off. I mean, I've never heard such rubbish in my life.
All dreadful,
wasn't it, grammatically? Yes, they're all nodding, you see. They're all agreed. Appalling grammar.
The trouble is, some of them are nodding off.
How?
It's very unlike the way most people speak, but he keeps the subject with 33 seconds on pigeons starting now.
It's often been said that if you love someone very much, you eat them, hence cannibalism. And in the same way, I who adore pigeons...
Peter Jones.
That's deviation. That isn't often said at all. Absolute rubbish to say it's often said.
No. We don't necessarily. I don't know. Peter Jones, you have the subject, and there are 26 seconds for pigeons starting now.
Well, I had 4 pigeons when I was a small boy, and I also possessed a bicycle, and I used to ride out into the country and release these birds from their little baskets, which jogged along attached to the handlebars, and try and race them back to the loft where we all lived. And they very frequently made it before I did.
Clement Freud.
Deviation. What? I don't believe Peter Jones lived in a loft.
Well, you can believe it or not, he wasn't technically deviating from the subject of pigeons, whether it was correct or not. He could have lived in a loft
game,
for a time. It might only have been for a night.
This sounds like the Higginbottom version of Just a Minute.
Well, it maybe is, but he wasn't deviating from pigeons, and there are 7 seconds left, Peter, starting now.
And sometimes, when I felt very rich, I would get on a train...
Graham Gunn.
And
I what? Thought he hesitated before rich.
Well, yes, you were mistaken. And I got on the...
But I agree with his challenge, Peter, and so he has 4 seconds to take over the subject of pigeons, starting now.
At the risk of talking about a subject which is over my head, I consider that...
Now, on this occasion, Graham Garden was speaking when the whistle went, so he gained an extra point, and he's gained other points in that round, and he's moved into second place ahead of Kenneth Williams, and Peter Jones and Clement Freud are equal in the lead. Graham, would you begin the next round? The subject is snaps. You have just a minute in which to talk about it, starting now.
In the world of snaps, there are several types. There is the brandy snap, ginger snap, and photographic snap. And of these, by far the tastiest is the photographic snap.
And Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of photographic.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Well,
it
serves you right for eating it, really.
I just fell violin has fallen.
Repeated on you, yeah. Yes, I can't believe it.
That.
It used to be much quicker.
48 seconds are left for snaps, Clement, starting now.
In the Eastern European countries, they have a drink called snaps, which is actually spelled S-C-H-N-A-P, and the last letter is the same as the first one. Where it's a very harsh...
Kenneth Williams.
Well, since he's discussing schnapps and not snaps, I think it's deviation, and therefore he should lose the subject.
I agree. There's a different pronunciation. One is snaps and the other one is schnapps. And you have a correct challenge, Kenneth, and you have 26 seconds for snaps starting now.
This was the subject of one of the most delightful vaudeville sketches you could ever have seen, where this lady said she wanted to show her album, one of her cave, and a deck chair that blew over, and my boyfriend wearing a banana for a moustache, and overexposures had ruined it all, and this dreadful man she'd invited to dinner kept asking for the gentleman's relish, and she said, surely my snaps are more interesting than that.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
Well, because that's nothing to do with the sketch that he's talking about. All this business with the relish. That's some other sketch.
Was it? Well done.
I mean, it all happened a great many years ago, and of course his memory isn't as good as it was, poor old Kenneth. And they've all merged.
You make me sound like a derelict.
It was about as long ago as when you were leaving that loft with your bicycle and the pigeons.
No, it was long before that, you know.
Peter, you have 4 seconds for snaps starting now.
They can be terribly boring, particularly when they belong to other people and they've taken them on their holiday.
Right, so at the end of that round, Peter Jones is speaking as the whistle went, and he's moved into the lead, one ahead of Clement Freud. Peter, back with you to start. The subject is bells, and there are 60 seconds to talk about it, starting now.
What I'm very fond of is the tintinnabulation of the bell. That is the ting-a-ling and ding-dong and so on that they make. Very attractive, particularly in the distance on a Sunday morning. You can hear this clanging going on, and you feel moved very often to go and worship at the local church where they're making all this racket. And I found that a small kind of bell attached to a piece of string.
Kenneth Williams.
Hesitation. Bell attached to a kind of string.
Oh, he went at such speed that I wouldn't call that real hesitation.
No, I mean, the way he speaks is so slow that there's hesitation between every word.
Yes,
you have to accept
and
that.
Sometimes between the ears.
Well, I know, very right. Yes, between
there are
30, the ears.
32 yes. Seconds starting now.
Yes, well, muffin.
Kenneth.
Hesitation.
I agree with that one, yes. Kenneth, do your best. Bells starting now.
Ring out.
Clement Freud.
It's the first challenge.
The first challenge. Which was wrong, so Kenneth has another point, and there are 29 seconds on bells starting now.
The immortal words of John Donne, was it not he who wrote, say not to ask for whom the bell...
Cram Garden has challenged you.
A repetition of not.
Not? He only said not. Oh, well done, Graham. Yes, you've got another point. He's catching up. He only said not once.
He said, was it not John Donne who said...
Oh, yes, he did. Well done, Graham. You should come more often.
Yes.
My goodness. I think you should have my job, actually. Graham, you have the subject of bells, and there are 24 seconds left starting now.
It was, I believe, Gladys Higginbottom who first hit upon the idea of attaching small bells to the sardines which she habitually played at her concerts up and down the country. The Fairfield Hall, Croydon, was in fact the venue at which she first demonstrated this musical diversion.
Graham Gardner's challenged
it. I was going to hesitate.
Well, as you challenge yourself for hesitation, I'm sure that you must be correct. And the only thing I can do is to say, yes, that was a correct challenge. You have a point, you have the subject, you have 5 seconds. And if you come back again in a few weeks' time, please don't make a habit of it, because it would rather ruin the rules that Ian Messiter thought of. There are 5 seconds left, starting now.
The sound of bells ringing out on a Sabbath morning across the hills.
Peter Jones, a challenge with only 1 second to go.
Well, I said all that. It was rather boring the first time. And to sit here and listen to somebody else repeating it a minute or two later is more than flesh and blood can stand.
Yeah, well, that may be so, but I'm afraid flesh and blood, if you're going to listen to this program, will have to stand it. You have 1 point, I mean, sorry, 1 second, and 2 points to make, with a subject of Bell's starting now.
On board ship.
Garden caught up magnificently on that subject. He's now only 1 point behind Peter Jones, and Kenneth's only 2 or 3 points behind that, and we're back with Kenneth Williams to begin. And a little earlier on, Ian Messiter spoke to me to suggest that the subject of Gladys Higginbottom should now be given to Kenneth Williams instead of the one. So, the subject is Gladys Higginbottom, Kenneth, and you have 60 seconds to talk about her starting now.
You have sprung this on me, and it is totally unexpected. But by usual expertise and extraordinary aplomb, I shall endeavour to give you a potted biography.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
He's just introducing the whole thing. He isn't talking about it at all.
He's got to introduce it before he can talk about it.
No, you've introduced it. He introduced it earlier, anyway.
That's a very pedantic argument, which...
Yes, you old pedant. He's an old pedant, isn't he?
Listen to me, Williams.
He's gone white. Look, he's gone white.
He introduced Gladys Higginbottom.
You shut your row. I've got the subject.
He's got some personal thing going with her.
They've got no manners, have they? They've got no manners.
I've never heard of this woman. How can I be expected to talk about her for a minute?
Well, you'll have to try if you win it. You might know a Gladys Higginbottom. There might be a show called the Gladys Higginbottom Show after this. We're putting her on the map today. Kenneth, it was an incorrect challenge and you have 47 seconds to continue on. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Continue.
I do apologise for that.
To continue introducing Gladys Higginbottom.
No, to continue talking on the subject of Gladys Higginbottom, starting now.
She lived in the grey, green hollows of Bowery, Northumbria, in this dreadful...
Peter Jones has challenged.
We've already established she lived in Dawlish.
If you recall, I said her upbringing in Dawlish, dear, with her aunt in a bullock cart. Not the rest of her life. What a nerve he's got. I know more about Gladys Higginbottom than you've had at dinners. How dare you?
Well, you know, after what Peter Jones said last time, I'm not so sure you do know as much about her as he does. Shall we see what Peter Jones knows about Gladys Higginbottom and give him the benefit of the doubt for that challenge, because you did establish Dawlish early on.
They're all dying to hear about the real one. He don't know her.
You, he might know her better than you, for all we know.
On a point of information.
A point of information.
Have you said that somewhere before?
Was it the single bullock that went from Dawlish to Northumbria?
No. You could get a return. We'll get back to Gladys Higginbottom with Peter Jones trying to talk about him. There are 40 seconds left, starting now.
Well, I don't know anything about Gladys Higginbottom, but...
Can you give us a challenge, yes?
Well, obviously, I mean, he's just out of his own mouth, hasn't he?
Why?
Well, if he doesn't know anything about it, he can't talk about it.
But that's not the game, Kenneth. You've been playing this for now 8 years. If you get the subject, if you don't know anything about it, you've got to try talking on the subject. And as long as you keep going without repetition, deviation, or hesitating, you're all right. And he didn't do anything like that. So he's still on Gladys Higginbottom, and I'm terribly sorry. I thought we'd get off her for a bit. It's embarrassing for the chairman. There are 37 seconds left on the subject of Gladys Higginbottom, Peter, starting now.
However, I do know something about Kenneth Williams and his appalling taste.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of something.
Yes, that is correct, Clement. There are 33 seconds for Gladys Higginbottom.
I didn't say something before.
Yes, you did.
In the previous one.
Really?
Mm.
What did I say?
Something. There are 33 seconds with Gladys Higginbottom, with you, Clement, starting now.
One of the most difficult things about Gladys Higginbottom is writing a poem.
Graham Gardner's chance.
Oh, the hesitation.
I agree with you, Graham, so you've got Gladys Higginbottom now.
Oh.
So, would you like to enjoy her for 27 seconds, or starting now?
The musical world was agog at the first concert given at the Royal Albert Hall by Gladys Higginbottom, who was to be found up on the stage playing sardines. This she did with two small mallets, and the fish were, of course, live and emitted tiny squeaks of agony as they were hit. by La Higginbottom. The musical press gave her ecstatic review.
For further information about Gladys Higginbottom, please write to any member of the team and they will tell you all about her upbringing in Dawlish, where she moved from Northumberland to this great musical success that she had at the Royal Albert Hall with her fish emitting those revolting sounds. Graham Garden was speaking as the whistle went. He gained an extra point. He's exactly equal with Kenneth Williams, and they're both only got half as many points as Peter Jones and Clement Freud. Clement, your turn to begin. The subject is homemade wine. Just a minute to talk about it, starting now.
For those who specialize in identifying noises, the clanging bell of a fire engine or even a police siren are as nothing compared to the homemade wine. The tongue clicking against the roof of the mouth, emitting an astonishingly high, shrill shriek, I think is possibly the best of the homemade wines that I have come across, although elderberry and dandelion run it a close third and fourth. I will come to the second in a few moments. Ideally, you get plant or fruit and ferment it endlessly with yeast and sugar. Thereafter, you telephone the police and say, I'm intending to break the law by building a still, and if you would be good enough to send an officer to my premises, I will go quietly to such place as the Justice of the Peace, the magistrates, or the authorities.
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation. I know one would ring up and ask to be arrested.
Thank you. That's a very good challenge, yes.
What do you mean, yes? I was talking about homemade wine.
Can't you accept the judgment of the chairman?
I also think asking to be arrested has got very little to do with homemade wine. I cannot see any connection other than that ridiculous one you gave us, which I think was deviation. I'd like to hear from
you. Quite right. He's very good. Isn't he lovely, chair?
Wait till I give a decision against him in a few minutes. 5 seconds, Kenneth, on homemade wine, starting now.
It's best to do it with gooseberry cup and to goose each berry individually. They like it, and always results in everyone at a delightful party.
So Kenneth Williams got some more points. Graham Garden, your turn to begin. The subject is Things I Get Called, and you have just a minute to talk about them, starting now.
The thing that I get called most often is Mr. Gardener, because having a slightly unusual surname, everyone assumes that it is the more common G-A-R-D-E-N-E-R variety instead of the common or garden variety.
Graham Gardner's challenged.
Repetition. Other thing.
Well, I think that was extraordinarily observant of you, and you got him like a flash there on that one. So, and of course, it was a correct challenge, yes. Graham. Yes. So you get a point for challenging yours. So, and you obviously must keep the subject because, it's a jolly good way of keeping going, isn't it? There are 42 seconds left for Things I Get Called, starting now.
Other things I get called are Hey You, Oi, Over There, and several names.
Kenneth Williams.
Well, apart from that, it was coming to hesitation. I don't think anyone would call him Over There. I don't think they'd say Here, Over There, Come Over Here.
It is possible. It is quite possible.
Well, anyway, it's not that I'm challenging. I'm challenging on hesitation.
You can call somebody over there.
I'm challenging on hesitation.
You've changed. Now, November, I must accept your first challenge.
I'm challenging on hesitation. I said, first of all, I'm challenging on hesitation.
I'm not accepting that challenge. I'm accepting the other one.
Here we go.
Anyway, he didn't hesitate either. And it's quite possible that somebody in a moment of aberration would have said, hey, over there,
You liar. Look at his face. Look at his face. Look at him, he's gone red, we know he's lying. Look at him.
I think it's quite feasible. There are 33 seconds left, Graham, for Things I Get Called, starting now.
Speaking on the subject of Things I Get Called, I was, in fact, interrupted by Mr. Kenneth Williams. I must
And Kenneth Williams?
Deviation, that has nothing to do with Things I Get Called.
He was just about to say he got interrupted and got called.
No, you don't know what he was going to say. Shut your great rat. How do you know what he was going to say? You suddenly a mind reader. Where's your crystal ball? You suddenly know what he was going to say.
Filthy. We didn't know what he was going to say because you never gave him a chance. You came in too soon. We can only assume there was something about Things He Gets Called. So he has 26 seconds, 7 seconds on Things I Get Called, starting now.
And I must confess that I think the panelist sitting opposite me is quite correct in his original challenge on hesitation, and indeed deviation, when I said that I had been called over there. I have been called...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of over there.
Yes. That's not what's on the card, I'm afraid, Graham. So that was a correct challenge, and there are 14 seconds for you, Clement, to take over. Things I get called starting now.
The things I get called are my name, Clement Freud, Esquire, sometimes Mr., occasionally Rector of the University of Dundee.
I don't believe it. Nobody comes up and says to him, Clement Freud, Esquire.
Oh, yes, they do.
Well, if they wanted to be rude, yes, they might.
Nobody does it. No, you're talking rubbish. You know, nobody comes up to
this
world.
People do talk rubbish
on
occasion.
Hello, Nicholas Parsons, Esquire. Yes. Although it might actually, in your case, because it is difficult to know what you're supposed to be dressed up like
people
that.
Address other people in... People address other people in very strange ways on occasions. I've heard you call some funny things in my time as well, I can tell you. Clement, it's possible that you were addressed in that way, so there are 7 seconds for you to continue on things I get called starting now.
But people have come up to me and said, are you the man who is the recipient of those appalling decisions made by Nicholas Parsons?
Let me tell you the final score, which was very, very close. Kenneth Williams, who trailed quite a lot through the show, did come back with a little Williams flourish towards the end and finished in fourth place. But he was only 3 points behind Peter Jones, and only 1 point separated him from Graham Garden, who came second, which is very good for a visitor with these three sharp regulars, and he was only 1 point behind this week's winner, Clement Freud. I hope that we can persuade Graham Garden to come back into the fray again in a number of weeks' time when we have a vacancy in our guest chair. But until then, from all of us here, may I say that I hope you've enjoyed the show this week and will want to tune in again same time next week. Until then, from us all, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Brough.